All right, everyone, get ready, because today we are going deep, deep into the Indian subcontinent.
Oh, exciting.
But we're not just going to be like looking at maps and, memorizing capitals or anything.
Right.
This is about really like unearthing, uncovering the forces that have shaped this incredible landmass
Yeah.
over millions of years. We're
Absolutely.
talking like towering Himalayas,
Yeah.
powerful monsoons,
Oh,
rivers that are practically like woven into the cultural fabric.
yeah, it's fascinating how the Indian subcontinent, that's a living example of how like geology and climate,
Exactly.
influence everything, like from the ecosystems to human history.
Exactly. And we've got a whole stack of sources here that are going to reveal how this region's unique position, right,
Right.
on the Indian plate plays a massive role in like its destiny.
Absolutely.
So let's start like the very beginning,
Okay.
the tectonic origins.
Yeah.
We've got info here about how the Indian plate like smashed into the Eurasian plate, creating the Himalayas. I mean, talk about a dramatic origin story, right?
Oh, yeah, like a slow motion collision
Yeah.
with epic consequences.
Totally.
And what's mind blowing is that the Himalayas are actually still rising
What?
because the Indian plate is still pushing
Wait,
northward.
seriously, they're still growing.
Yeah.
That's insane.
It is, but this constant movement also makes the entire region so seismically active.
Yeah.
Earthquakes are a pretty regular occurrence here,
Yeah.
and they've definitely left their mark on the
Yeah,
landscape.
one of our sources even mentions like an earthquake back in 2008
Oh, wow.
that was so powerful, and it actually changed the course of the Kosi River, leading to massive floods. Like, talk about a reminder of nature's power.
Oh, for sure. And speaking of powerful forces, we can't forget about the climate.
Yes.
The Indian subcontinent has such an incredible range of climate zones,
It
from
does.
like icy glaciers to scorching deserts.
Right.
It's almost like a continent within a continent.
Yeah, I was reading about that, and it's wild to think that you can go from like snow-capped peaks to tropical beaches, all within the same landmass.
Totally.
Okay, so break it down for us. What are the main climate zones we're looking at?
Well, first, you've got the Himalayan zone, obviously.
Okay.
Freezing temperatures, snow-capped mountains.
Right.
It's no surprise that vegetation is pretty limited up there.
Makes sense. Then there's the Indo-Gangetic Plain, right?
Yes.
That's that area our sources describe as like super fertile with tons of rainfall.
Exactly. That plain is so crucial for India's agriculture. It
Yeah.
supports a huge population. Then
There.
you have the Deccan Plateau,
Uh-huh.
which is much drier and hotter,
Right.
almost desert-like in some areas.
Okay. Of
And of course, we can't forget the coastal regions.
course not.
I bet the climate there is influenced by that famous monsoon, right?
Absolutely. Those coastal areas have a whole range of climates, but
Yeah.
the monsoon winds play a huge role in shaping their weather patterns,
Oh, yeah.
especially rainfall.
Huge.
Speaking of the monsoons, I've always been fascinated by how it's not just a weather pattern, it's
Yeah.
practically a cultural phenomenon in India.
Oh, absolutely. The monsoon cycle is so vital to agriculture
Yeah.
that its arrival is actually celebrated with festivals.
Oh, really?
Like Holi, for example, the Festival of Colors.
Right.
It's not just a fun celebration, it's tied to the hope for good monsoon rains to ensure a bountiful harvest.
Wow, I never knew that.
Yeah.
So it's like a prayer for good fortune, kind of woven into a huge party.
Exactly. But of course, the monsoon's power can be a double-edged sword, you know?
Of course.
One of our sources talks about how droughts in the 1960s actually impacted India's industrial growth.
Wow.
It's a reminder that too little rain can be just as devastating as too much.
Yeah, like this constant push and pull between nature's bounty and nature's fury.
Totally. And speaking of powerful forces shaping the land, we have to talk about the rivers.
Yes.
The Indian subcontinent is crisscrossed by these incredible river systems, the Indus, the Ganges, the Brahmaputra. They're practically lifelines for the entire region.
They are. I was reading about how they've influenced everything from agriculture to religion.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so what makes these rivers so special?
Well, for starters, they provide irrigation
Right.
and create super fertile soil. That's why the Indo-Gangetic Plain is so important for agriculture.
Makes sense. And historically, they were also essential for transportation, right?
Absolutely. They were like ancient highways facilitating trade and the movement of people.
Right.
And then there's the cultural aspect. The Ganges River, for instance, is incredibly sacred in Hinduism.
Yeah.
Millions of people make pilgrimages to bathe in its waters, believing it washes away their sins.
Wow. So it's like a physical and spiritual journey all rolled into one.
Exactly. But these rivers aren't always predictable. The Kosi River, for example,
Okay.
is notorious for changing its course.
Really?
Sometimes it brings life-giving floods, but other times those floods can be devastating, completely altering the landscape. It's another reminder of, like, the dynamic forces at play here.
All right, so we've got towering mountains, powerful weather patterns, and rivers that are practically characters in their own right. Like, what else does this region have in store for us?
Well, the Indian subcontinent is also home to an astonishing range of ecosystems.
Okay.
From the Himalayas to the Thar Desert to the coastal mangroves.
Right.
It's a biodiversity hotspot.
Okay, now I'm really intrigued. Tell me more about these ecosystems.
Well, up in the Himalayas, you've got these unique forests with all sorts of specialized plants and animals.
Okay.
You've probably heard of the snow leopard.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of the most iconic creatures found in the higher altitudes.
Oh, wow. It's incredible to think about how life thrives in such extreme environments.
Exactly. And then you have the Thar Desert, which is almost the opposite. Incredibly dry and harsh.
Right.
But even there, life finds a way.
Yeah.
The plants and animals that live in the Thar have developed amazing adaptations for surviving in such extreme conditions.
Like what? Give me an example.
Well, some of the plants have these deep root systems that allow them to access water far below the surface.
Oh, wow.
And many of the animals are nocturnal.
Okay.
Coming out only at night when it's cooler, they've evolved to conserve water and withstand the intense heat.
That's amazing.
It is.
Nature is so resourceful.
It is.
And then, of course, there are the coastal mangroves.
Yes.
These are incredibly important for protecting the coastline from erosion.
They are.
And providing a habitat for all sorts of marine life.
Oh, yeah.
I remember reading about how mangroves are also crucial for absorbing carbon dioxide from the atmosphere.
Yeah.
They're like a natural weapon against climate change.
They are. And they're a vital part of the intricate web of life that makes the Indian subcontinent so unique.
All right. So we've got a handle on the basics, the tectonic forces, the climate, those incredible rivers, and this amazing array of ecosystems.
Yeah.
But how does it all connect? Like, why does all of this matter in the grand scheme of things?
That's the fascinating part. You see, these geographical features have profoundly shaped the lives and experiences of the people who call the Indian subcontinent home.
Okay, now we're getting to the good stuff.
Yes.
I'm ready to dive deeper into that connection between the land and its people.
That's exactly where we're headed next.
All right.
We'll explore how geography has influenced everything from ancient civilizations to modern day challenges and opportunities.
Awesome. I'm ready for it.
Let's go. So are you ready to explore how all this incredible geography has, like, impacted the people of the Indian subcontinent?
Absolutely. I'm especially curious about, like, how those massive rivers have influenced, like, the development of civilizations, you know?
Yeah, well, think about the Indus River Valley civilization.
Right.
One of the oldest in the world.
Yeah.
It flourished along the banks of the Indus, benefiting from its fertile soil, using the river as a trade route.
Right.
It's a classic example of how rivers can be the lifeblood of entire societies.
And the Ganges, that must have played a huge role too, right?
Definitely. The Ganges has seen the rise and fall of countless empires and kingdoms.
Wow.
The fertile plains along its banks have always been a strategic asset.
Yeah.
Attracting settlers, facilitating agriculture.
Right.
It's no wonder so many historical power struggles centered around control of the Ganges.
It's fascinating how a geographical feature can become so intertwined with a region's history.
Right.
And even its destiny.
Right. And it's not just about resources and strategic advantage.
Yeah.
Remember, the Ganges is also incredibly sacred in Hinduism.
Right.
It's a pilgrimage destination, a source of myths and legends.
Yeah.
A symbol of spiritual purity.
Right.
That adds a whole other layer of complexity to its significance.
It's a perfect example of how geography and culture are inseparable in the Indian subcontinent.
Exactly. And speaking of culture, we can't forget about the impact of the monsoon on daily life.
Right.
It's not just about rainfall.
Yeah.
It's woven into the fabric of society.
Right. We talked about Holi being tied to the hope for good monsoon rains. What other ways has the monsoon, like, influenced culture?
Well, think about agriculture.
Okay.
The monsoon dictates when crops are planted and harvested.
Mm-hmm.
This seasonal rhythm has shaped cultural practices, festivals, even artistic expressions for centuries.
Wow.
Entire communities have adapted their lives to the rhythm of the monsoon.
It's amazing how a weather pattern can have such a profound impact on every aspect of life.
It really is, and it's not always a positive impact either.
Right.
Droughts caused by a weak monsoon can lead to famine and hardship.
Yeah.
And intense monsoon rains can trigger devastating floods.
Right.
It's this constant cycle of dependence and vulnerability.
It sounds like a delicate balance.
It is.
A relationship with nature that demands both respect and resilience.
Exactly. Now let's shift gears a bit and talk about something equally fascinating.
Okay.
The incredible diversity of the Indian subcontinent's people.
Oh, yeah. This region is a melting pot of cultures, languages, and religions. I'm curious how geography has played a role in, like, shaping that diversity.
Well, for starters, think about those towering mountains, dense forests, and vast plains.
Right.
These geographical barriers naturally led to the development of distinct cultural groups with their own languages, traditions, and beliefs.
Right.
It's like evolution on a cultural level.
Makes sense. Like, isolated communities would develop their own unique ways of life. But how did those communities eventually interact and, like, mix?
Well, remember those rivers we talked about? They weren't just barriers, they were also connectors.
Right.
They facilitated trade, migration,
right,
and the exchange of ideas between different regions over centuries. This led to the blending of cultures, the emergence of new languages, and the spread of religions.
So geography both divided and united the people of the subcontinent.
Precisely. And this complex interplay continues to shape India's cultural landscape today.
Yeah.
We see it in the country's incredible linguistic diversity, with over 120 languages spoken. And we see it in the coexistence of multiple religions: Hinduism, Islam, Buddhism, Sikhism, Christianity, and Jainism.
Right.
All have deep roots in the region.
It's like a living tapestry, woven together by threads of geography, history, and human interaction.
That's a great way to put it. Now let's zoom in on a specific aspect of this diversity.
Okay.
Population density.
Okay. I'm intrigued. What's the story there?
Well, the Indian subcontinent is one of the most densely populated regions in the world.
Wow.
With over 1.3 billion people.
Okay.
And this population density isn't evenly distributed.
So where are the population centers concentrated?
You guessed it, along those fertile river valleys.
Right.
The Indo-Gangetic Plain, in particular,
yeah,
is incredibly densely populated.
Yeah.
It's where you find major cities like Delhi, Kolkata, and Dhaka.
That makes sense. Those areas have always been centers of agriculture and trade.
Right.
So naturally, they'd attract larger populations.
Exactly. But this concentration of people also presents challenges. Think about the strain on resources, like water and energy,
yeah,
the need for housing and infrastructure, the issues of pollution and sanitation.
It's like a microcosm of the challenges facing many developing nations,
yeah,
trying to balance economic growth with sustainable development.
Absolutely. And understanding these challenges requires understanding the geographical context. You can't separate population density from the availability of fertile land, access to water resources,
yes,
and the historical patterns of settlement that have shaped the region.
It's a reminder that geography isn't just about maps and mountains.
Right.
It's about people and their relationship with the environment.
Exactly. Now let's delve into another layer of complexity, the impact of colonialism on the Indian subcontinent.
Oh, that's a huge topic. How did colonialism, like, reshape the geography of the region?
Well, for centuries, European powers, primarily the British,
right,
exerted their influence on the subcontinent,
yeah,
exploiting its resources, transforming its political and economic systems. This had a lasting impact on its geography.
Give me an example. How did colonialism change things on the ground?
Well, think about the introduction of cash crops like tea, coffee, and indigo.
Yeah.
Vast plantations were established, often displacing indigenous communities.
Wow.
And altering traditional agricultural practices.
Right.
This reshaped entire landscapes,
yeah,
and had profound social and economic consequences.
And the British built a vast railway network, right?
They did. Mm. And while this facilitated trade and transportation, it was also a tool of colonial control designed to extract resources and consolidate power.
Right.
The railways literally reshaped the subcontinent's connectivity, privileging certain regions over others.
It's fascinating how infrastructure can be a reflection of power dynamics.
Right. And even today, we see the legacy of colonialism in the subcontinent's geography.
Yeah.
Many of the borders, political divisions,
Very
and
much.
Economic disparities we see today are rooted in colonial policies and decisions.
It's like a ghost of the past still haunting the present.
Exactly. Now, let's shift gears again,
okay,
and explore how the Indian subcontinent is navigating its place in the modern world.
Okay. I'm all ears. How is geography influencing India's role on the global stage?
Well, think about its location.
Okay.
The Indian subcontinent sits at the crossroads of Asia, bridging east and west.
Right.
This gives it a strategic advantage in terms of trade, diplomacy, and even military power.
Right. I remember reading about how India's long coastline
and
access to major shipping routes make it a key player in the Indian Ocean region.
Exactly. And its proximity to China, a rising global power, presents both opportunities and challenges.
Yeah.
India's trying to balance cooperation with competition, navigating a complex geopolitical landscape.
It sounds like a delicate balancing act.
That is.
Trying to assert its own interests while also fostering regional stability.
It is. And understanding these geopolitical dynamics requires understanding the geographical context.
Mm-hmm.
India's location, its size, its population, its resources.
Yeah.
All of these factors influence its foreign policy decisions and its role on the global stage.
It's a reminder that geography isn't just about physical features.
Right.
It's about power dynamics, economic interests, and even cultural influences.
Absolutely. And the Indian subcontinent, with its rich history, its incredible diversity, and its growing influence, is a fascinating case study in how geography continues to shape the world we live in.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here. Tectonic plates, monsoons, rivers, diverse cultures, colonialism, a rising global power. It's kind of mind-boggling to think about how all of these pieces like fit together.
It is, isn't it? The Indian subcontinent is like a giant puzzle.
Yeah.
With geography being the key to understanding how all the pieces connect.
But let's bring it back to our listener for a second. Like, why should all of this matter to someone who maybe isn't planning to become a geographer?
Right.
Or a historian? What's the takeaway for them?
That's a great question, I think. Understanding the geography of a place like the Indian subcontinent gives you a much deeper appreciation for its culture, its history, and even its current events. It's like having a secret decoder ring for understanding the news.
I love that analogy.
Yeah.
It's like suddenly those headlines about water disputes or border tensions make so much more sense when, you know, like the history of those rivers or those mountain ranges.
Exactly. Or even if you're just watching a Bollywood film, you know, knowing something about the different regions and languages of India adds a whole new layer of enjoyment.
Right.
You start to pick up on those nuances and appreciate the cultural richness.
So it's not just about memorizing facts. It's about seeing those connections, those patterns.
Right.
And understanding how geography influences everything around us.
Precisely. And the Indian subcontinent is the perfect place to start that journey of discovery.
Yeah.
Because it's such a dynamic and vibrant region.
All right. So as we wrap up this deep dive, what's the one thing you'd want our listener to like walk away with?
I think the key takeaway is this. The Indian subcontinent story is still being written. It's a region facing immense challenges, from poverty and inequality to climate change and environmental degradation.
Right. And those challenges are only going to become more complex in the 21st century.
Exactly. But it's also a region full of opportunity and potential.
Yeah.
It's a rising economic power, a center of innovation, and a place where ancient traditions coexist with modern aspirations.
And understanding its geography, its history, and its culture is essential for navigating those challenges and seizing those opportunities.
Absolutely. So to our listener, I'll leave you with this.
Yeah.
Keep exploring.
Yeah.
Keep asking questions and never underestimate the power of geography to shape our world.
Beautifully said. Thanks for joining us on this incredible journey through the Indian subcontinent. We'll catch you on our next deep dive.